Grab your Bibles, turn to Matthew 22. Continue with our year-long series on love. Something's happening. God's doing something. Matthew 22, verse 34. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And we can love because he first loved us. He sent Jesus because of his great love and because he's rich in mercy. And so here it's saying, in response to that love from God, love that we didn't deserve, we're to love God, to love others, and to love ourselves. And we've been talking a lot about loving others and maybe loving ourselves, but I want to talk a little bit today about loving God. I gave myself to Jesus in August of 1982 at the age of 19. And dramatic things happened in my life. My life changed. I don't know if you've had that kind of experience when you were, some were just saved at a young age, but I was at 19 and had lived a lot already. And I was changed. I was different. I wanted to go after God with all of my heart. And I began to read the Bible for the first time. And then somewhere along the way was taught to be a hearer and doer of God's word. And then John 14, 15. It says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. So in loving him, I'm going to keep his word. James talks about being a hearer and a doer of the word of God. And by doing that, you'll be blessed. Well, I got saved in the summer of 1982 and went back to school up in Minnesota, state school in Minnesota, that fall. And I got involved with a ministry called Campus Crusade for Christ. And we had about 140 young people that met every week, every Tuesday night. We would have a service and then during the week, we'd go witnessing to other students and be involved in Bible study. And that Christmas season, at the end of that year, 82, I was invited to their annual Christmas conference. It was in St. Paul, Minnesota. And it was like a 3 or 4 day conference. And it was just, again, young people from all over the state of Minnesota and Iowa and Wisconsin, South Dakota, North Dakota, gathered there in St. Paul. And it happened to be this particular year, Bill Bright was at our conference because he would go to different conferences, you know, different times. And he happened to be at this one. Bill Bright, if you don't know about him, he's in heaven now, is the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ and has been a part of winning millions to God and raising up a lot of, you know, disciples among young people. But he was at this conference and his main text was Jeremiah 29:11, and I want to read that to you today. Jeremiah 29:11 says, it's very familiar to many of you, "For I know the plans I have for you." Say this with me. God's got great plans for me. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." And here's some good parts of the plan. "Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." So God's got a good plan for you. He doesn't want to hurt you. He wants to prosper you. He's got a bright future for you. And he has a hope. And so he talked to Bill Bright, talked about his life and how he started Campus Crusade for Christ and what his heart was and all the nations and places that he had been. And then we ended that night with a time of consecration. So it was New Year's Eve. And I had never done this before. But he read these verses in Luke 22. And I'll read them. And it's, you know, Jesus in the garden, verse 39. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives. And as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. And when he came to that place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. He's dealing with going to the cross. No way I can imagine that. You know, he's going to a death, a brutal death, whipped, all the different parts. It's all in the scriptures. He's read all that. He knows what he's facing. Sin placed upon him, sickness, all the things that he's dealing with. And so, you know, he knows in his heart what he has to do, but his flesh is dealing with it. If it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So that night in Minnesota, really, this is the first time as a new believer that I've ever consecrated myself. We all got down on our knees. Bill Bribe was on his knees. And it was a powerful moment as we gave ourselves to God, ending that year, starting this next year, praying together, saying those same things, not my will, but your will be done. And I had no idea, you know, what God had. I was, you know, attending school in Minnesota. Loved being there. Loved that, you know, my family and everything there, and never really had any plans to go anywhere else or do, you know, never dreamed I'd be in Augusta, Georgia. That wasn't on the radar at that time. But I know from my heart, I was like, not my will, Father. At that time, I was involved in politics and student government and involved in politics in the state of Minnesota. And, you know, my dream was to be in politics there. And, in fact, when I was running for homecoming queen, king, not queen, I really changed. Homecoming king. And on there, you had to say a little bit about your life and where you wanted to be in 10 years. And I said that I wanted to be governor of Minnesota. I believed that at that time. And so that was my desire. That's what I wanted to do. And so I was involved in student senate and involved in political things in Minnesota. Because that's where I could serve and where I felt I could do the most good. But that night, things began to change. When I prayed that prayer, we call it a dangerous prayer, not my will. It's not about me, not what I want. What do you want? What is your plan? You've got a plan. It's my duty, my job is to find out that plan and to the best of my ability, live that plan out. Now, I was asked a lot of questions. I'm a big question person. And asking a lot of questions of the different leaders of Campus Crusade for Christ. And I don't know if you ever heard of Josh McDowell. He's a part of Campus Crusade for Christ. And he was speaking there. And I asked to speak with him. And I was just, one of my questions for him was, how do I know the will of God? And then he pointed me to these verses here. Psalm 37, verse 23. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. So what Josh McDowell said to me was, you don't have to have it all figured out. You just need to know the next step. And so I began to pray about that. What's the next step? And I was involved with Campus Crusade for three there in the spring, 1982, and for the school year at 83 there in the spring, and then signed up to go on a summer project with them in the summer of 1983, I mean, I never would have done that. Never thought about that. Never knew about something like that. And spent 2 months in San Diego preaching the gospel, witnessing on the beaches, doing ministry in churches. I mean, what a dramatic change that God had. And then the following year, summer, I went to the nation of Panama. Spent 2 months there. Same thing. We saw over 10,000 people saved. 30 college students from all over the country. And we saw 10,000 people saved. And it was just an amazing time of ministry. And then, but during that year, I left that state school. And then after I was in Panama, I went to Oral Roberts University. And that's a whole other story of how God got me there. And then that's amazing because that's where I met Susie. So, I mean, God's got a plan. And I'm not saying it's easy to figure it out or to find it. It's not. It can be challenging. Because you notice in verse 24, it says, though he fall, as you're pursuing God and going after his will and trying to find that next step, you're most likely going to fall. And that fall may last longer sometimes. Sometimes it may be years. Sometimes it's a shorter period of time. But when you fall, you get back up. And God's got a way of getting you right back into things. But he orders your steps. And so that's the question for all of us today. What's that next step? Are you being faithful where you are to what he's called you to do now? Are you praying about what's next? Because there comes a point in your Christian walk, I hope you've come to this place, when you realize you don't get to do what you want to do. That this life is not about me and me feeling good, although there's great feelings being in Christ, obviously, joy. We sang about that today. But it's not about me doing what I want to do or me being comfortable or me being happy. That this life, you know, in Christ is about doing what he made me to be. Romans 10, this is how I got saved. Romans 10, verse 8. Saved, born again, gave my life to Christ, received Jesus, however you want to say it. Had a conversion, you know, a lot of ways we can describe it. But in Romans 10, verse 8, it says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The word sozo here for in Greek word sozo, S-O-Z-O, for this word saved, you know, it involves eternal life. It involves going to heaven, but it also involves an inheritance that he has for us right here on the earth. He saves you out of Satan's kingdom, puts you in God's kingdom. And there's forgiveness of sins. There's his mercy, his grace. There's provision. There's spirit. And there's also, being filled with the Holy Spirit. But it also begins to awaken you to his plan. Raised from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes in the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Now this word Lord here, we kind of pass it by. And I'm not saying you need to know this when you come to Jesus, because I don't know if you're ready to make this kind of commitment at that time. But the word Lord is the word kyros. Kyros. And that word meant something at the time. It was the word that was used for the Roman emperor. This is the highest guy. I mean, they were serious about it. The Roman emperor. It was used for a Greek god. It's someone that's supreme in authority, Lord, supreme master. Also, this is the Greek word for the word Yahweh in Hebrew. This is the word that they used for that word. And so what it means when you say Jesus is Lord, you're saying, I am giving you the supreme place in my life. You are my Lord. You are my master. I'm giving you my life. I'm giving you my worship. I'm giving you my obedience. I'm giving it to you. Now, Jesus set the example, Philippians 2. I mean, you need to spend some time in Philippians 2. But Philippians 2, verse 5 says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. That's what he chose, not to be a ruler and a king and a Caesar, but he took the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. If I say obedient, to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and those in heaven, and those on earth, and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Supreme authority. He's the master. To the glory of God the Father. And, you know, you might as well do it now here on earth, because you're going to have to do it eventually. Because every being is going to confess Jesus is Lord. And so this word obedient, it goes with Lord. This obedience and lordship and him being our master, they go together. This word obedient means to be under authority. We are under authority. We are under the lordship and the authority of Jesus. And when you're under someone's authority, you listen to what they say. That's why his word is so important. That's why what the Spirit of God says to us is so important. He's speaking today. He's speaking to each one of us. He's got a plan for our lives. He's got steps that he's ordering. He's got things for us to do. He's got fruit for us to bear. Lives for us to impact as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors for Christ. Listen to what the superior says. And then the third thing is carry out the orders that have been given. Now, it's not like the military or a slave and a master in that sense. That he's going to punish you, he's going to whip you, talk back to me, all that, you know. It's not out of duty. It's not out of loyalty. It's not out of that I'm being forced to be obedient. It's because of his great love. And because of what Jesus has done and the sacrifice that he has paid. It melts when you really understand the gospel. And God's goodness, it says his goodness leads us to repentance. It changes you. When you come face to face with Jesus, it changes you. It melts your hardened heart, your broken heart. It heals it. And so I'm not obedient because I'm made to do it. I'm obedient because I love him. He first loved me. I love him. He's got this plan. My life's duty is to fulfill it. It's not about me. He'd do this for me. Well, all he has is mine. All I have is his. I'm giving it to him. And he, you know, when you give it to him, I mean, there's a lot of fear. Well, like, where is he going to send me to? Or what's he going to have me do? I'm not going to, you know, all these different things. And there is that involved. There's just things I've done. It's like, yeah, tremendous fear. And the flesh doesn't always cooperate. But I do know this, that anything he has me to do, it's the most satisfying, the most rewarding, the most joy-filled thing. Doing what you're made to do. Being who he made you to be. Everything is just working toward what he has for you. Some steps, I mean, especially when I was younger, some of the steps, I mean, like, what's going on here? Because my training for ministry was different than a lot of people. It wasn't just going to Bible school and then, you know, pick up a church or do, you know, work with a minister. It, you know, he had a whole different plan for me. History major, MBA, accounting, working a CPA firm, worked for a paper plant. You know, sometimes it just seemed like I was getting further and further away from ministry. But each time along the way, I'm praying, God, what's that next step? And just being obedient, even though I don't always understand. Some of the steps were more challenging than others. I remember I was a controller at the Johnson plant up in South Carolina there. And, we were Federal Paper Board, bought by another company, and they're making changes. And they offered me the controller job in Augusta, you know, the big paper mill out there. And right next door is a wood products plant. And so they, you know, I'm up there. I'm driving 50 minutes one way to work up there in Johnston. So 50 minutes up there, 50 minutes back. Plus working late hours and my family and having kids and all the different things. It's not easy doing that. You know what I'm talking about. So they offered me this job, and I had worked at the paper mill. I know I could, you know, drive that route in my sleep. 20, 25 minutes. If I'm speeding, I can get there in 20. Don't do that. Young people, don't do that. I can get there in 20, 25 minutes. So they offered me this job. More money, more benefits, more people under me, more prestige. This is a no-brainer. I mean, do the pros and the cons, and, you know, it's the thing to do. And all my, you know, people that are, you know, my superiors are saying, you know, you need to take it. You don't know what's going to happen to Johnson, because they were talking about closing that plant. But, you know, what I learned to do is to pray. What I learned to do is get on my knees and say, not my will, Lord, be done, but yours be done. The same thing I learned when I was 19 with Bill Bright, who showed me how to do it. I consecrated myself. Said, this is not about me. It's about you. What do you want? He told me no. So I called my the guy that's the head of all the controllers for the wood products, called him and told him no. He was hot. He cussed me out, said, you idiot. You're missing it. Your career's over. Blah, 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 blah. And, you know, when you have someone like that, and I respect the person, you know, it kind of, like, did I do the right thing? But I've learned to hear his voice. Same voice that led me to go to San Diego. Same voice that led me to ORU. I think the same voice that hooked me up with Susie. Because those biscuits that she made for me, those southern biscuits, were really, really good. And that southern voice that she had, woo! So, I mean, it took me a while to hear, clearly. It's that same voice. And learn to be obedient. And even though it looked like in the natural, that's the best thing for my family. I didn't know we were going to start Good News Church. I didn't know, God had other plans. And he worked it all out. So he's got a way. And what we need to be asking him. Now, there are some problems. Mark 4, verse 18. Are something we got to have to deal with every day. Especially if someone's walking with the Lord for a while. As you're an older believer. Mark 4, verse 18. And the ones sown among the thorns are others who hear the word. Then the cares... Anybody have any cares today? Cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age. And the pleasure and delight and false glamour, deceitfulness of riches. And the craving and passionate desire. Christianity is a lot about desire. This word desire can be used as like a lust for evil, but it's also used as something for good. It's a hunger. It's a craving. It's a stretching out. It's a reaching out to God. It's being passionate. Passion has a big part to doing God's will. And the enemy's going to try to get your passions in other places and take you away from your passion from God. And it happens. You stagnate. You get comfortable. You draw back. You're not as sensitive. You don't consecrate yourself anymore. And the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word. And it becomes fruitless. Jesus was obedient. Isaiah 1 verse 19 says, if you are willing, everybody say willing. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. The willingness is that desire. Obedience comes out of desire. Obedience comes out of passion. And that's something that we have to stir up, something we have to open our hearts to. And so today, if you've found yourself not as willing as you used to be, today's a good day to make an adjustment. We all have many reasons why maybe we're not willing, but today's a good day to make a change. He's got something amazing for all of us in 2018. Some amazing things he wants to do, but we have to cooperate. He's not going to make us do anything. It's all out of willingness and obedience. And so I want to encourage you from experience of, 36 years walking with Jesus, 36 years of pursuing his will, it's good. It's good. He's got good things in store for you. So you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to understand everything today. What's the next step? Or what's the assignment he's given me now? And you might be tested. And it might be, some things try to get you off track. But he'll help us. Y'all know about the rich young ruler, Mark 10, verse 17. We got any rich young rulers over here? Jamel? Wesley? Kyle? You rich young ruler? Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God. No, but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. I'm telling you, when you're in his presence and that love, Jesus loved him. It's life-changing. And he said to him, "One thing you lack." So we're talking about obedience here. "One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me." It says pick up your cross several times in Matthew, in Luke, in Mark. In Luke it says pick it up daily. "Come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Mark 4. The cross represents your destiny. The cross represents his will. The cross represents his plan for your life. And every day we're to pick it up. Some days are easier than others. Some days we don't want to pick it up. Some days we want to do anything but pick up the cross. It's not about us. He wants to use us today. He wants to use us so his love flows through us. So we got to make a decision. And, you know, it has a lot to do with desire. And maybe the desire's waned. I don't know what's happened in your household. Maybe, things happen. Tough things happen. The devil's mean. He's seeking to kill, steal, and destroy. I don't know what's happened. Tough things happen. Maybe your desire has waned. Well, I want to encourage you. God's got a good plan for you today. I want to encourage you today. He's got a hope and a future for you. I want to encourage you today that God wants to prosper you. He's got good things in store. You don't need to be afraid. Well, how's it going to come to pass? You don't have to figure all that out. You just need to follow him. You need to trust him, not lean to your own understanding. He'll direct your steps. He'll direct your path. And then look at Philippians 2, verse 13. Would you look at that verse? Oh, my goodness. If you give him the desire, look what he'll do here. If you just move towards him, draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. Give him something to work with. Give him your heart to work with. Even though your head doesn't understand everything. This is where faith comes in. Believing in something you can't see in this natural realm. We're faith people. We don't give up. You've been knocked down. Hey, I've been there. I've been knocked down. But we get back up. We don't stay down. We get back up. I learned this a long time ago when I messed up. And I messed up many times in my life. Don't run from Jesus. Run to him. Run to that love. Run to that grace. Run to that forgiveness. Run to that deliverance. Don't run from him. Because if you're running from him, you're running into the... That's not good. He can use you. He will use you. Even if you've just, excuse my language, screwed up royally. He's the God of the second chance, the third chance, the fourth chance, the fifth chance, the sixth chance. He'll give you another chance. He'll get you right back in it. But we got to have your heart. We got to have your willingness. Open your heart to Him. Look at this. Not in your own strength. For it is God who is all the while, effectively at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for His good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. He'll empower you. Jesus is in the garden and He's praying. The angels came and strengthened Him. Hallelujah. Hebrews says He sends ministering spirits for believers. We have the Holy Spirit in Amplified says He infuses you with inner strength. You don't have to do it alone, but you got to give Him that passion. You got to give Him that desire. You got to give Him that willingness. He's willing. He's able. He's willing. So today I just speak to fear. People afraid of following God, of, you know, what's going to happen. I speak to that today in the name of Jesus. You fear, you've got to go. And I speak to people that have feel like God's given up on them or there's no hope for them. And that, you know, I've just messed up so many times. I just want to tell you today, forgiveness is here. Mercy is here. Grace is here. I thought I had missed it. I'm wrapping it up, I think. I thought I had missed it when I was, you know, I was ordained at 33, saved at 19, 14 years had passed. I knew God had called me to ministry. 14 years. I feel like I'm 14 years behind. And so I'm being ordained, and the ministers are coming down. They come to me, and this is what the minister said, I believe by the Spirit of God. He just blessed me. You're right on time. Oh, thank you, Lord. I had thought I was way behind. Even if you're behind, He can get you caught up. Let's stand, everybody. So let's just take a moment and you don't have to come to the altar and kneel. You want to, you can. You just follow God. There's freedom in this place. But let's just take a moment and let's consecrate ourselves. I'm going to do what Bill Bright did. It's what he taught me to do. So I'm going to do what he did. You don't have to do this. But I'm going to consecrate myself to God. I'm 55, been walking with God a long time. I can get comfortable like the next guy. Married, four kids, they're married, getting out of college. I can kind of just coast. Got a good income. But it's not about me. It's about what He wants. So I'm going to just lead us. And you just, from your heart, if you've gotten cold, just tell Him, talk to Him. If you feel like you've messed up, ask for forgiveness. If you don't know the next step, ask Him. But let's just pray this prayer. Let's just say, Father in heaven, I come into Your presence. We come into Your presence. Lord, not my will be done, but Your will be done. I give You my all, spirit, soul, body, socially, financially, all that I am, I give it to You to for Your use. Lord, my heart's desire is to bear much fruit for the kingdom. Show me the next step. Reveal it to me. Strengthen me, Father, to complete it, to finish it. Lord, may this church follow you. Follow the Spirit of God. Be true to the vision and the mission that you've given us. Lord, I'm asking for your help as we're season of open doors. This next place you have for us. Strengthen us. Give us wisdom. Lead us and guide us. Lord, I pray for the people here today. Lord, they may fulfill your plan. You show them the plan. They may know it. They may walk in it and fulfill that plan. I thank you, Lord. Lord, may this be a year of bearing much fruit. May this be a year of using us all to impact this community and the nations with the gospel, with the good news, that we may walk in our calling of as ambassadors for Christ and ministers of reconciliation. Lord, may we be bold. May we not be timid.